Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are examining the first indictment that God, through the prophet Malachi, levied against his people. In the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, and through the prophet Malachi, who is the last prophetic voice until the coming of John the Baptist. And things were not good in Israel. Malachi is prophesying to the returned remnant, and it's only a remnant, in about three different waves of immigration. 150,000 Jews returned from what had originally been their Babylonian captivity. Of course, now it had turned into their integration into the Medo-Persian Empire. But Cyrus, the king of Persia, prompted by God himself, issued a decree that any of the Jews who wanted to go back to their land and to rebuild their homeland were allowed, and I would even say encouraged, to do exactly that. And so one group came, and then another group came. A group came under Ezra, and then another group came under Nehemiah. And they rebuilt the temple and reinstituted the sacrifices. They rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem and established a thriving population within that city once again. And many of them went out into the countryside and established homes and farms, and the nation was operating again pretty smoothly. Everything appeared to be fine on the surface. If you had viewed it from afar, you would probably say, things are really going well in the land of Israel now after all of this time of difficulty. But God, who sees the heart, saw something entirely different. And what he saw was a cold, cynical, unresponsive people who were going through the motions, but whose hearts were really not in it, whose hearts were really not seeking God. And that was the problem in that day, and God sent the prophet Malachi to address that problem. That is a problem in our day. In fact, it is a problem in virtually every age and every place where God has his people. And so it's very important that we learn all that we can from this prophecy of Malachi. And to that end, thank you for joining me on this Friday, August 30. And please don't forget that we depend upon financial support from our radio listeners in order to continue this broadcast. Well, the first indictment, which begins in verse 2, is basically God's declaration of love. I have loved you, says the Lord, followed by Israel's unbelief. In what way do you love us? We don't see it. And so the rest of the several verses that deal with this first indictment, the last part of verse 2 down through verse 5, is God giving proof of his love. And the proof turns out to be the difference between the way God dealt with Jacob and Esau. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Jacob I have preserved, protected, restored to the land. Here they are, back in the land. Esau, the nation of Edom that grew out of Esau, has had a very different history. Again, on the surface, things look similar in some ways, in that when God judged them, they fell under the judging hand of God the same way that Israel did, or in a similar way that Israel did. But the difference is that God protected and preserved Israel even in this time of severe judgment and restored them to the land. But that is not what he had been doing with Edom. It's not what he was going to do with Edom. In fact, if you look at these verses carefully, and I didn't point this out as we went through them, and maybe I should stop and read them at this point. It's a short section. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord. Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness, even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate palaces. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. Now, you really have to get this, what should I say, this fine point as you're reading through this section, if you want to get everything that helps explain the answer of God to Israel as to why there is evidence of his love to Israel, and it is shown in the contrast with the way he treated Israel and Edom. And here it is. The evidence begins with what God has done in the past. He has judged Edom severely. He has brought down well-deserved judgment upon that nation. But it also involves God's love in the present. And here's the distinction. God judged Edom because of their sin. God judged Israel because of their sin, right? Therein, they are not that much different. Well, the circumstances are different, but the general principle is very much the same. But in the case of Israel, as I've already pointed out, God brought them back to the land after a period of severe chastening. But in the case of Edom, when they try to rebuild, like Israel did under Cyrus, under Ezra, under Nehemiah, under the blessing of God, when Edom tried to rebuild, they found themselves unable to do so. God thwarted them at every turn and made it impossible for them to reestablish their nation. Now, here's the fine point that I'm trying to get to. Some of this is past, and some of this is yet future. And you'll see that if you go through that passage, and I'm not going to read it again, but you'll see that the first part is how God dealt with Edom in the past, but the second part is how he is going to deal with them in the future. And he says to Israel, your eyes shall see it. What I'm telling you now that I'm going to do, you are going to see. It's yet future, but you are going to see it take place. So the utter devastation of Edom had not yet taken place, but it would. But what they could see right now is that so far, in spite of its most valiant efforts, Edom has not been able to reestablish their nation. They had had a thriving nation. It was devastated by judgment that God brought upon them in a similar way to Israel by allowing neighboring countries to conquer them. Edom thought they were unconquerable, frankly. They had a great deal of pride. But they were indeed conquered. They were devastated by opportunistic neighbors. They had a strong resolve, that they were going to rebuild their land. And God said, no, you won't. Everything you try is going to fail. No, you won't. I'm going to see to it that you do not succeed. And back to the original question, where's the evidence of your love for us? I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Here it is, the difference between primarily the difference between the success of restoration between Jacob and Esau. Jacob is chastened, but not destroyed, and rebuilding efforts succeed. Really, amazingly, surprisingly, inexplainably, except by the sovereign working of God that brings this about, or otherwise it couldn't have happened and wouldn't have happened. They certainly had enemies that were determined that they were not going to be able to reestablish their nation, but they did. I have loved you, says God, and here's the evidence of my love. I have allowed your efforts to succeed. I have made them to succeed when, frankly, your efforts by themselves were not strong enough to succeed, but amazingly they did. There's the evidence of my love to you. In the case of Edom, their efforts at reestablishment might have even been more committed, more fervent, more determined than Israel, and would seem to have been more likely to succeed, but nope. They're not going to. You watch. You watch and see what happens, says God. But they will not. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. You see, now this is future to when Malachi is speaking. They are not going to succeed, and that's the evidence. So what you've really got is God's love in the present, Edom's effort to reverse their fortunes. With great effort they attempt restoration, but to no avail. But in the case of Israel, they did succeed. But then, God's love in the future. What Israel shall see in days to come. The fulfillment of this prophecy given through Malachi of Edom's destruction. They're going to see that take place. The fulfillment of Israel's blessings. They may not feel particularly blessed now, though they should. Here they are back in the land. But they are going to see far greater things, and there's going to be a change of attitude, and the time will come when Israel shall say, the Lord is magnified, when Israel will be delighted to give glory to God, to recognize His universal glory. That is not the attitude of the nation of Israel now. They're back in the land. It's an amazing thing. It's a supernatural thing for them to be back. But as we remember from reading the book of Ezra, when the temple was rebuilt, there were some who remembered the former temple, and instead of rejoicing in what had been accomplished, they sat down and wept because it wasn't as great as the former one. And there's something similar to that going on now. Okay, 150,000 Jews are back in the land, and the land is back in operation and thriving, quite amazingly, and yet it's nothing like it was under the reign of David. It's certainly nothing like it was under the reign of Solomon. It doesn't seem to have the grandeur it used to have. So you can look at this, and you can either in faith say, this is marvelous, God has done wonderful things, and we will rejoice and give Him glory, or you can say, well, this isn't any big thing. It's a matter of perspective, it's a matter of attitude, it's a matter of heart attitude, it's a matter of faith, it's a matter of wanting to give God the glory or wanting to be critical and complaining. And Israel wasn't enjoying God's love, wasn't even recognizing it because their attitude was wrong. We need an attitude check quite frequently, don't we? Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.